right, all right. Good evening, good evening. We certainly praise God for each of you tonight who are viewing. Come on in. Let us know that the sound is good and that you can hear us and that the picture is good, that we're coming in. We want to welcome you to Monday Manna. Here it is, the 17th day of January, and we praise God for another day, for truly this is the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Let us know y'all can hear us and that everything is coming in clear. As you can see, Lady Kim is not next to me tonight, but I have my best friend, one of my good friends, all the way from Denver, Colorado, and I wouldn't dare allow him to be here over this period of time. He already blessed our hearts on yesterday with the word, and I wanted him to sit in tonight and be a part of our study as we continue through the book of Joshua. But Dr. Holmes is no stranger to ATOP. He's been with us through all the phases of our ministry from the very start, and so we're excited that he's a part of what we're doing and share with us a very powerful word on yesterday as we prepare to kick off our anniversary celebration. And of course, we do have special guests throughout this month, but you know, it wouldn't be a proper time to come together in terms of a celebration without inviting some of our best friends. And so here he is tonight, Dr. Reginald C. Holmes. He's the proud pastor of the New Covenant Alpha and Omega Ministries Christian Church in Denver, Colorado. And so he's here tonight to be a part of what we're going to share. And so I'm going to give him a chance to just kind of give a recap of the sermon from yesterday, a powerful word. Now, if you didn't get a chance to see it, I do want to encourage you to go back to our website, and you can view that on www.anointedtemple.com. .org, and you'll be extremely blessed. But let's start out with a word of prayer as we prepare for this time together. Let us know everything is clear and that we're coming in. The signal is fine. Would you bow with me? Father, we bless you and we honor you. We do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for being God and God alone, for we realize that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that without you, we are nothing and can do nothing. We pray the Lord that even as we have gathered through this medium of this time together, we pray the Lord that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. It's in the name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
Come on, give
amen.
Us some thumbs up. Amen. Let us know you're there. Let us know you're viewing. Let us know that everything is coming through pretty good. Lady Kim is in the house, but she yielded her seat tonight to my good friend and brother, Dr. Reginald C. Holmes. He brought a plane load of snow in with him. And as you know, we had a snow day on yesterday. Dr. Holmes, how you doing? And tell the audience what's going on with you.
Well, Pastor Murray, thank you so much for your gracious invitation to be a part of this 22nd church anniversary celebration. And what a wonderful time it always is to be here with you, my brother, and to be here with Lady Kim. We are just so excited about what God has done in 22 years of your ministry, brother. God has certainly had his hand upon you and upon Lady Kim. And all that I see every time I come is just an expansion of God's grace on ATOP. And I'm so excited for it because I'm on the ATOP team.
All right.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Amen. All right. I know that's how right. to shout for my teammates. Yeah, when they do well. But it was good to be here on yesterday. Good to be here with you on your program. I've watched it so many times with you and Lady Kim, and you guys do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you so much, sir. And so usually what we do, Dr. Holmes, is we just kind of give a review of the time that we had in service on yesterday. And even though the numbers were minimal because of the snow that was on the ground. Mm-hmm. A lot of people decided to stay mm-hmm. in. And mm-hmm. so those who were who came to in-person worship, they were there. But I think our online audience was higher than it normally would be. Mm-hmm. And they were watching from home. But just tell us a little bit, if you will, about what you were, the message and the title and what you were trying to get us to see as a result of our anniversary celebration.
Yeah, you have a wonderful theme. And I think the theme for your anniversary this year is the year of abundant harvest.
That's right, that's right.
And you've taken it from Leviticus 26 and 10.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Leviticus 26 and 10 talks about you'll have to move over last year's crops and food in
right.
order to make room for the abundant blessing. And we believe that God is capable of blessing us
right.
with an abundant harvest. But I certainly didn't want us to jump over the fact that in order to get blessed,
mm-hmm.
there has to be some obedience.
All right, that's right.
And God never issues a command without giving a promise.
Wow.
And he never gives a promise without issuing a command.
That's good.
And
that's
the
good.
Command of Jubilee is to do justice.
Mm-hmm.
In the year of Jubilee, which is in Leviticus 25,
mm-hmm.
where the writer of Leviticus is explaining how important the Sabbath is.
Okay.
And the Sabbath is a time of rest.
Mm-hmm.
In the Jewish tradition, you didn't just go running off all the time, but every 7 days you had to rest.
Okay.
Every 7 years was a Jubilee year. And then every 49 years, starting that 50th year, is the year of Jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are, we took that verse and took that text and we tried to talk about how important it is for us to do our part.
Okay.
If we want God to bless us, we've got to make sure that we give God what God needs. And I think the title you asked me was to get what you want, you have to give God what God needs.
Wow. And that's rich.
It was rich.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And you really blessed us, and you really took us through that whole process leading up to the 26th chapter. And many times we discredit the scriptures when we don't cover it in its entirety to get the full content
mm-hmm.
of what is taking place. And you walked through that and helped us to really understand how they came to this whole point of understanding about the harvest from last year and what they needed to do in order to have an abundant harvest.
Yes, yes. And I think that to me, it was just a confirmation of all I believe about, you know, getting whatever it is we want to get from God.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a level of obedience.
Okay.
It requires a level of sacrifice.
Okay.
And I think that with your theme, Pastor Murray, you certainly have, I believe, your congregation on the right track to receive. And
mm-hmm.
as I look at all that God is doing,
mm-hmm.
oh man, I mean, the abundant blessings are all over your ministry. And what a blessing it is to see through this pandemic.
That's right.
That some of us are just powering on.
Keep going forward. Yes,
man.
Sir.
Yeah.
But we praise God for you. And we know that you've been an intricate part of everything that has happened. And we talk on the regular, and people know that about our relationship. And so even though we might fuss and fight with each other, we still, at the end of the day, I go my separate way and you go yours. But no, all jokes aside, we still tight. And so,
but we will start fighting.
Yeah, we're not going to do it tonight.
No, we're not going to do it in front of
these
people.
Yeah, that's right.
But we will throw some hands.
That's right.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But we certainly praise God for you and your influence over the ministry and your, my relationship with you. You know, it's not many people that I confide in, many people that I share some of the things. And then you have been there in terms of prayerful support and guidance. And we praise God for the relationship and for it continuing to go forward. But we're going to move on. We got a lot of ground to cover tonight. We're not going to hold you long tonight. And so we just applaud. Somebody give me some thumbs up and let Dr. Holmes know that he's welcome, even though he has on the Broncos jersey. He's welcome here in the city of Memphis. Had a chance to go to the Grizzlies game this afternoon and be a part of that. They're giving you a couple of thumbs up there, Reverend, letting you know how much they appreciate you, mm-hmm. how grateful they are for our relationship and for the witness that God is doing through both of us and through both of our ministries. And we look forward for that to continue. But Joshua, the third chapter. Now, just to give you a little background information, and I want you to chime in at any time, mm-hmm. Dr. Holmes, because this whole book of Joshua, it's only 24 chapters in this book. And the main theme that we have come up with is that this sixth chapter is about trusting God to be faithful to his word. Mm-hmm. And we find that he used Joshua to be an influence, and he took over from a powerful leader. Mm-hmm. But Joshua was prepared. He was equipped. He went through the proper channels. He did not try to go beyond what God had for him. He did not try to get ahead of God. He served Moses faithfully, and he waited till his turn. And then God established a covenant relationship with him. And we see that Joshua turned out to be a man of courage and conviction. He was a person that did not quit, that he continued to do what God instructed him to do. And you talked about it a few minutes ago, how he was obedient to mm-hmm. what God required of him. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, obedience indeed brings the reward, and it releases and unlocks the promises that God has in store for us. Mm-hmm. Lady Kim and I talked about it last week. Oftentimes, people want the promise and what the promise brings, but they don't want to go through right. the steps that lead to
absolutely.
It. And so I think that was a part of what you shared with us in your yes. sermon on mm-hmm. yesterday, and you just mm-hmm. made mention mm-hmm. of it. But we have to be obedient to God. We have to trust God, even in those lean times, even in difficult times, even when it doesn't look like the promise is coming to pass. Mm-hmm. If God said he would do it then, yes. then we have to count on that God is going to do exactly for what he said he would do. He's not like man that he should lie. Mm-hmm. And so we have to trust God even when we can't trace him. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me on that, Reverend?
I would, Reverend Murray. And I think that, you look at Joshua, mm-hmm. and in many ways he had that leadership thrusted upon him.
Okay.
In many ways, I think he was prepared. Mm-hmm. And I think the life of Joshua speaks, number one, to those of us who are in our position.
Okay.
That we should make sure that we have prepared, as you said, for a successor.
Okay. Okay.
And I think that Joshua took over the reins of Moses and took over the nation of Israel, but he went through something. He went through, and I think about your ministry and mine mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. we met.
Right.
We didn't start out. People might have thought mm-hmm. we started out as pastors, no. as the leaders.
Right, right, right.
But we had T. Garrett Benjamin. We had Alvin O'Neill Jackson.
Right, right.
In which both of us worked under and got ourselves prepared mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the leadership that we're exhibiting now. And
right,
I think the
right.
power of the story of Joshua is preparing for, you know, for your eventual leadership, because I think God's going to call all of us to that place of leadership, be it in our homes, in our church, our job, wherever it is. At some point, we're going to be called to be a leader.
Okay, mm-hmm. that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, you have your good friend from Los Angeles, California. That's Sister Darlene Holmes. She's a member of our good friend and brother John Tostel's
church. Is she related to me?
I don't know. Well, that's a good question. She's there, but she just wanted to say good evening.
I think all Holmeses
are related. Uh-huh. And she said, I attend Abundant Life Christian Church, of course. We, Brother John Constable, our dear friend,
we
talked to him earlier today.
Yeah.
And he's a part of what we call the firm now. Mm-hmm. It was the posse.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of elaborated on that on yesterday. Tell them a little bit about what the firm means.
Yeah,
some people don't know what
we are. We're a group of preachers who've come together, and we've come together to to just have accountability, to mm-hmm. have fellowship, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to come together and just be real brothers.
Right, right.
And we call ourselves the Firm, and we needed an acronym for it. And so we talked about faith.
Uh-huh.
Is righteousness manifested?
Wow.
Faith is righteousness manifested.
Come on, Firm. Somebody type that in.
And faith. So it's not about us being perfect.
Manifested.
It's not about us, you know, being holier than anybody else.
Right, right.
The whole idea of righteousness is about how you treat people
mm-hmm.
and how you care about folks and how you carry out the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is all about people. It's not about being a star. It's not about being whatever a lot of people think it is. It's just about caring about people. And okay. that's what we try to do as a Firm.
Okay, okay. And so we appreciate that perspective on what we're all about. And, you know, that's powerful because no man is an island. No man can stand alone. Mm-hmm. We all need somebody. And if we get out of this life with at least two friends, then we've accomplished a lot,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Because friends are far and few and in between, however that saying goes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you find somebody that you can really lean on in the good times as well as the bad,
mm-hmm.
and then they won't hold back in terms of correction, and you have to be ready to receive correction. And all of this was a part of what I believe Joshua and Moses' relationship was. And God affirmed that relationship mm-hmm. because he saw that Joshua was willing to submit to following Moses and being a servant mm-hmm. for him.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, God, when it's time, his time, God gave him promises. And then we'll find in this third chapter, that's which we're going to study tonight. For those of you who are just tuning in, this is my friend and brother all the way from Denver, Colorado, Dr. Reginald C. Holmes. He's the proud pastor of the New Covenant Christian Church, Alpha and Omega Ministries. You're typing that in now, Reverend. And mm-hmm. so he preached for us a very powerful sermon on yesterday, our first guest that we invited for the 22nd celebration. And so we're just getting ready to go through the third chapter of Joshua and see how much of that we can cover. Maybe Lady Kim will come and poke her head in before we get done here tonight. But this third chapter of Joshua, I hope you've had an opportunity to read it. There are about, from all indications, about 17 verses here, Dr. Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And in these verses, we see, we left off talking about Rahab and how the spies, when they came and they viewed the promised land in that second chapter,
mm-hmm.
and how she was the one who was instrumental in making sure that they were protected
mm-hmm.
and making sure that they were covered and that they did not be found because they had crossed over. And she, her house, from what we found out, was right there at the wall entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a good place. And she had a reputation
mm-hmm.
As well as an occupation
mm-hmm.
that attracted a lot of attention. And so it was
a lot of business.
A lot of business, that's right. Well, we find that these two representatives ended up in her house. And somebody found out that they were not from Jericho.
Yeah.
And the word got back, and so they were out searching for them. But she held firm in her faith. She had a courageous faith,
mm-hmm.
and she was willing to trust God, and she exhibited that by telling them that she had seen what the Lord had done.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to make mm-hmm. sure to let them know that she was on board, you know.
Yes.
So she did. We call it, she told a lie, really.
Real.
To protect them,
mm-hmm.
and it was an amazing situation how God used her in that situation. And so I think we closed out talking about the importance and the significance of us even today being careful not to criticize too quickly, for good people may be all around us.
Yeah,
and many times we look for a person with prestige and a person with money and wealth and looked like they're in a high position mm-hmm. to be able to help us. But But God, he'll use a prostitute.
That's right.
To give you the deliverance that he has mm-hmm. for your life.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share any more about that as we...
I think the story of Rahab is just a fascinating story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of times what we love to say is grace showed up with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
mm-hmm.
Christians are right, kind of right. arrogant about... You know, when things happen and when they became real faith-wise. But if you go back through the Old Testament, man, mm-hmm. there's more grace in the Old Testament.
I know, right?
It's more amazing, grace in the Old Testament than the New Testament could handle or contain. But there is grace all through. And Rahab is one of those grace stories
mm-hmm.
for me
mm-hmm.
about how God uses whoever God chooses
that's
to
good.
Use.
That's good.
And a lot of us get upset when God does that. But God does not have to ask our permission.
That's right.
He don't have to ask our permission who God wants to use. And what makes Rahab so significant for me, and I can't really trace it without looking in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but I do know that when I go to the genealogy of
right.
Jesus.
That's right. Her name appears, right?
I think it appears there. I think it's in there. So, when we think that we have to be perfect to
right.
be used by God,
that's right.
you might want to rethink that. And I think a lot of times God uses people like Rahab
mm-hmm.
so that we don't be talking about, ooh, it was Rahab.
Right.
It was Tom. God
right.
used Remer. Ooh, Remer. No, God used him. God blessed him.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And even when you look over in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, there are two women who are in that hall of fame, of faith, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Rahab and Sarah.
Yes.
And so that just shows you the significance and importance of what God saw in her.
Mm-hmm.
And many times God will see something in someone that we may not see.
Right.
And he'll put them in a position to be a blessing. And so we have to be ready to receive the blessing that God has in front of us. And so we have to be careful not to criticize too quickly, for there are people all around us that God can use to give us the breakthrough that we need to get to where we're going.
That's so true, Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think too that when we come to see as well that this is a very patriarchal society,
okay,
where you have men dominating the landscape of Scripture,
mm-hmm.
and we miss those moments in Scripture
right.
where God uses women in a
powerful
way.
That's right.
And Rahab used her cunning,
mm-hmm.
her street smarts,
mm-hmm.
To be a blessing to God.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times when we think of folks who are in the quote-unquote world, although we know God owns it all and can use it all for his glory. But a lot of times when we see people who may be less than what we think they should be
right.
spiritually,
right.
we somehow write them off, but God never does.
That's right.
Yeah.
Somebody, Brother Martez, I baptized on yesterday, he said we all need somebody, and somebody else indicated that, let's see, they're putting the theme in, faith and righteousness being manifested. Faith and righteousness manifested, that's
mm-hmm.
it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Martez says how much he appreciates you. Even as you're writing your comments, make sure now if there are prayer requests and any thing that you want us to pray with you around as when we prepare to close out, we want to have those. And Lady Kim is nearby, and I think she's on tonight, even though she's not in the studio with us,
mm-hmm.
but she's present. And so if you see any Lady Kim, just go ahead and write those down. And I'm going to ask you to come in before we close out tonight and maybe give us a list if there is one. But in this third chapter of Joshua, as we indicated, there are only 17 verses. And really, it starts out, Dr. Holmes, with... giving us a sense of the children of Israel getting ready to cross over Jordan. And they are processing this whole thing and how the Lord promises to exalt Joshua in front of the people. And the Jordan River is halted as the people cross over in dry land. And so he's affirming Joshua in terms of his leadership and his skill set and his ability to take the lead, because they had been under such a powerful influence in terms of leadership of Moses. Mm-hmm. But God had already promised him that if you do what I ask you, if you keep my commandments, if you obey the things that I've told you to do, you will have good success. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting ready now to affirm Joshua in front of the people. Mm-hmm. And so this third chapter, if you can you read that? Mm-hmm. That's a kind of small print. Mm-hmm. Let's maybe look at those first five or six verses, and then we'll stop and see if something jumps out at you that we might can come back and pick up. Mm-hmm. In this particular time together.
Joshua 3 reads this way, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Mm-hmm. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Mm-hmm. For ye have not passed this way hitherfore.
Wow.
And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.
Okay. And that's the first five verses of Joshua. Mm-hmm. But the Lord is beginning to speak to Joshua, and he's getting ready to remind him of the promises that he's already told him what he was going to do. And this, in a real sense, is a reminder. But I think also, Dr. Holmes, that this chapter helps us to understand the importance of fellowship, obedience, and we've talked about that a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. and relationship, and how obedience indeed brings the reward.
Yes, sir. Yes, mm-hmm. sir. You're on the money. And that relationship piece is so key, I think, mm-hmm. Rummer, that you mm-hmm. just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Because the idea is you got to maintain a right relationship with God.
Okay.
And with God, there is this sense of intimacy mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and distance.
Okay.
And I think this text talks about that whole issue of intimacy. We've got to have an intimate relationship with God. We got to have intimate relationships with our loved ones. Mm-hmm. But there is also the necessity to maintain distance. And if you don't maintain distance in relationships, as well as balancing it off with intimacy, then relationships become disease. Mm. And I think as this relationship started out, they made it very clear. Now, when you see the ark,
right,
you got to run towards it, because the ark's going to lead you.
Right.
But
keep
a distance.
Right. Don't get too close.
And that's the relationship that we have with God. Mm-hmm. Or don't get too close, because you'll end up with that same Genesis attitude, maybe.
Okay.
Where you think that because you are so close to God, mm-hmm. we always run the risk, Murray, whenever we're trying to get real close to God, mm-hmm. of making the mistake that Adam and Eve made. Mm-hmm. The serpent said, God is afraid.
Right.
Then you're going to get powerful and become like him.
Right.
And so that distance is necessary, that you don't get arrogant into thinking that it's you who's leading these folks.
That's
over.
Good. That's
keep your
good.
Distance.
That's good.
I'm God. Mm-hmm. You keep your distance from this ark.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's real good.
Yeah.
And so that's powerful there. And a lot of times people miss it because they become full of themselves.
Yes.
And they think that it's them, and they leave God on the side. And God will let you go a certain distance mm-hmm. if you get that attitude, and he'll humble you in the process. where you have to come back and ask God to forgive you.
Murray, I remember growing up, man. I was close. I was close, you know, to my mother and my father, as you were, and most of us were. But if they were talking to grown folks,
right,
and you try to jump in the conversation, they tell you trouble. In a minute, stay in your place.
That's trouble.
Stay
right
in
there.
Your place. In other words, keep a healthy distance.
Right, right.
This is not the relationship for you to be all up in the mix like this.
That's right.
And it's important. On the one hand, your mother was as intimate, your dad was as intimate as anybody on earth. But if you messed over that distance and crossed over some grown-up stuff, man, you got yourself checked in a hurry.
You got to pay the consequences.
Oh, you got checked in
a hurry. There will be some consequences.
Yeah, so you can come near the ark.
Right.
And it's going to show you.
But stay your distance.
But stay, keep your distance.
So part then of us really getting to this year of abundant harvest has to do with us following instructions, being obedient, and understanding proper relationship with God.
Yes, yes.
And so I think that's obvious, and it's coming out clear even in this first part of this sixth chapter. Mm-hmm. And Joshua is really, he's taking the helm, he's taking the lead. They're getting ready to go over into Jordan. And he says, but wait now, there are some things that before we do this, he says, you're going to have to prepare yourselves. You're going to have to know what to do in terms of your distance. Mm-hmm. And he gave instructions. And many times, like I'm guilty of, I won't follow the instructions when I'm putting something together.
Right.
And I end up messing it up.
Right. Right.
And so we got to follow the instruction. Now, if you want to see Lady Kim and I get heated, put us in a room where we have something that we have to put together.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned over the years that that's not our calling.
Right.
So either she's going to do it or I'm going to do it.
Right.
But both
you can't
do it
together. No, you'll end up. So.
Yeah, it's going to be real crazy.
Yeah.
But we learned that. And sometimes even in our relationship with God, we have to go through some things that we only learn through experience.
Right.
You
follow
me?
Right.
And I think also, as I was thinking about that, Dr. Holmes, that it's many times our experiences have to catch up with the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we hear a word and we want to run with it, and God gives a promise and we think it's for us to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we have to go through some stuff, man. And Joshua, he could have had an eagerness about him where he was ready to just take over even before Moses died.
Right.
But no, you got to wait your turn. You got to stay in your lane and you got to follow the process. And when God lifts you, then it's better than you trying to get in front of God and doing it yourself.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. That's so true. And I think that we've seen lots of instances and experiences, and we've lived them ourselves.
That's right.
Where we've gotten ahead of God. What I call we became too intimate when we needed to have distance.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Then there are times when we have distance where we needed to be closer to God. And a lot of times we make mistakes in that whole area of distancing ourselves.
That's good.
Things can pull us away from God. And so you got to balance the distance and the intimacy. And I think that this is what Joshua 3 is kind of laying out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Holmes already read the first five verses. There are only 17 verses here. We're going to go ahead and read the next five and then elaborate on a few things that's happening there. And if there are comments or if there are questions, you can go ahead and type it in the comments section and we'll respond to that. And also now, don't forget, if there are any prayer requests, we most definitely want to see those, and we want to touch and agree and believe God, what you're believing God to do in your situation. We want to just stand in agreement with you around that.
Amen. And Joshua spoke unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, as I will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan.
Okay. All right. What verse is that?
That's 8.
Okay. Go ahead and read down to 10.
And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites.
Okay. And the mosquito bites.
And the mosquito bites.
Other bites. The other bites. Uh-huh. God's going to drive them out.
Yes.
But this whole thing, as you started out in talking about what God had required of Joshua to do, we see that in verse number 7, the Lord reminded Joshua of the promise that he had already set in place. He said, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, so that the people will know.
That's right.
That as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Mm-hmm. And they won't have any doubt in their minds that it's me who's making this happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm anointing you, I'm appointing you to really take over and move forward in front of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was clear as he began to move forward that God was giving him a clear signal and an indication that he was going to be the one who lifts them up and in front of the people so that they would be clear in terms of who they were to follow and what God had assigned for them to do.
Right, right. And I think that with Joshua here, it's interesting that he had command of the religious community.
Okay.
He had command of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had lots of conversations with Jewish rabbis. I've had a lot of conversation in Jewish Christian dialogue. And one of the things that Jewish people say is that Judaism isn't just a religion.
Okay.
But it's a way of life.
A way of life.
And when you look at all of this as a lifestyle, and Joshua seems to be, when it started out on this biblical model, that God was the God of everything.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't just the God of the priests.
Right.
But he was also the God of the people.
He was
the God of the whole Jewish life.
Okay.
And I think we make the mistake sometimes of only putting God over certain areas of our life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we limit him in other areas.
Yes, sir.
And then we fall apart, and then we start collapsing, and we wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we not have included God in the whole process.
Right.
Lady Kim is coming to the room. I think it's enough room right here in between us for her to come and join us. Would you join us, First Lady? Bring a little bit more color to the set so that we can get your input, because we are about getting ready to close out.
Here
we go. You can fit. Come on in this house.
Dr. Holmes not going to be here.
We're going to push it back a little bit and see if we can get everybody.
Yeah.
Come on over some. Come on over some. There we go.
Back and y'all move in.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Y'all move in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This way?
This way.
Oh, okay. I see. You come on over some. Can y'all see all of us?
This way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can y'all see all of us?
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear us? All right. Lady Kim, anything that you want to just kind of elaborate on? What we've talked about the first 11 verses already, and we've just kind of shared a little bit about how Joshua was being obedient and how he was following the lead of God, and God is really lifting him up in front of the people and encouraging Joshua in terms of the promise that he had already established with him, and the people getting a clear sense now of God's relationship with him and him being the identified leader to lead them from here henceforth.
Absolutely. And Joshua, everybody needs encouragement. And
okay.
I think that's what God was trying to do, to continue to encourage Joshua, to let him know that he was with him and that he would be with him.
Okay.
No matter what Joshua, what came against Joshua. Mm-hmm. God had promised that he would be with him. And he's just reminding him and encouraging him and trying to continue to build Joshua up for the task that was ahead.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
That's good.
Sounds good, yeah.
That's great.
So are there any prayer requests coming through?
Not yet.
Any comments that you see posted there that most people are just agreeing with what?
Yeah, Dr. Q said in the New Living Translation, it said God told Joshua in verse 8 to take a few steps into the Jordan and stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say more about that?
Okay.
Like, why do that?
Okay. And that's verse number 8?
Yes.
Okay. You want to just read that verse again, Dr. Holmes? Did we get down to verse 8?
Yes, we read through 10.
Okay.
And you shall command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's an alluding there to waiting on God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you stand still, you don't move.
Right, right.
You know, kind of what we were talking about with the Sabbath. The Sabbath was always a time for you to regroup,
mm-hmm.
refresh,
mm-hmm.
and to be still and to see that the one who is delivering you is God.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of the comments also indicate that the brink of Jordan, so far as the river then spread itself, was now more than ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he told them to stand still, it was important for them as they prepared to make their entrance across that this was going to be the place that God would want them to be, so that he can do what he wanted mm-hmm. to do in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we end up missing God because we want to go over there. And but God says, no, I need you right here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you're going to get your breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be mindful of that as well. But it's about that instruction.
So what you're saying, Rob Murray, is that, you know, maybe you be still
mm-hmm.
to better understand the moment.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
You know, it's
kind of
like your man Phil Jackson.
Okay.
Used to always.
Why is he my man? Why
because
would you
he's
say?
He was connected.
Because he's a Laker.
Yeah, he was connected.
Okay, that's
with
what
the
you're
Lakers
trying to say. Okay.
I'm just trying to find out.
I'm trying to get some hope. Where you're coming from.
But you know, Phil's main thing was you had to be in the moment.
Right.
And a lot of times, Kim, you know, God blesses us, and we can't really. You know, we don't know how it happened, don't know when it happened. We're just not aware.
Right.
We just move on. And so God, I love what you read, Reverend,
mm-hmm.
is that God wants you to be aware
mm-hmm.
that at this moment is where you have to make
your stand. That's right. This is where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, our time is getting away from us, and we want you to share your comments as well as your prayer requests. And we're going to read these last few verses attached to the third chapter of Joshua, and then we'll prepare to close out for tonight. Any requests coming through, Lady Kim, any other comments that we need to be aware of? Okay, well, let's pick it up. We're in the third chapter, for those of you joining us. We're in the third chapter of Joshua, and we're getting ready to start at verse number 11.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, verse number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we'll just go ahead and read through 17.
Okay.
Okay.
Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you unto Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above.
Wow.
And they shall stand upon a heap.
Hmm.
And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest.
Did you say harvest?
Harvest.
All right. Okay.
That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, fell and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right place, right time,
and
obedience to what God requires of you will release the blessing that he has in store for you.
Yeah.
Would y'all agree with me on that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this story sounds so familiar, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
And you know, we always hear about God and parting the Red Sea for Moses and the Israelites. But here again, God is showing favor on them, and he's parting the Jordan River for
That's
them
right.
to go through on dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't hear much about God parting the river, but we always hear about him parting the Red Sea.
And what we say in the black church is, if he did it once,
he'll do it again.
What he do it. Come on, somebody type,
want to do it.
Yeah, Lord.
So we have to rely on God and count on him. We know that his promises are sure and his satisfaction is guaranteed. And if God said he would do a thing, he shall come to pass. Obedience releases the blessing that God has in store for us. Obedience brings the reward. And so we have to trust the timing of God, because he is indeed an on-time God. Yes, he is. And so we see all of this playing out in this particular latter portion of this third chapter, and why they had to stand in a certain place and why they had to do it when God said it was time for them to do it. And that is what caused the heap of the water. It's almost like a parting that caused them to walk over on dry land. So, you know, I was thinking as you were reading, Dr. Holmes, what did Sister Myra, did she have a comment there?
Maybe. Yeah, she said God used the priest instead of Moses' rod this time.
Wow, because the priest had to go before the people, and the ark, they had to follow the ark, but they also had to distance themselves.
But they also had to do what you just said.
What's that?
Had to be obedient.
Had to be obedient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a preacher. Who is Joshua telling me what to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Why should I follow him?
Yeah.
I know the way.
Yeah. And you know some of that was going on, Lady Kim,
because
Lady Kim picked up on it when she said this was God's way, and you read it, Reverend, of showing the people I've chosen you.
I've chosen him.
Because you know he was going through getting affirmed by the affirmation from the community.
Right.
So
that
was necessary.
Okay. All right. That's good. Any other comments there, Lady Kim?
No.
Okay, well, we're getting ready to come to a close tonight. Our good friend and brother, Dr. Reginald C. Holmes from Denver, Colorado, he's here until tomorrow. I'm going to put him on the plane. I hope he'll take, look like all the snow is dried up, so you can leave what's left out there.
I just need y'all to send in some recommendations for barbecue, because I want to take some barbecue. I hear everything about Memphis and this barbecue, but I've never had any since I've been here. So, and I've been coming for well over 30 years.
You never had what?
Never had any barbecue. I've heard a lot about it. So, y'all type in some recommendations.
That's right.
I was talking about taking back, Kim.
Take it back.
Yeah.
So, go ahead and give him a couple of recommendations there. Y'all go ahead and type it in the margins. And somebody said Rendezvous, and so they'll package it up, and you can ship it, or you can take it on the plane.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know if the barbecue shop is still open, but you want recommendations from the people, not from me.
You made
that clear.
Yeah, I thought I did.
Yeah, you did.
I'm sorry.
I figured that's where you were going with that, but some other people are typing in. Nothing like that good barbecue coming from the backyard.
Yeah. Well, whoever that is, tell them we'll come to the backyard.
That's
tomorrow.
Dr. Quali Seymour. She's saying that's where the best cue takes place.
One and only is good.
One and only. So Well, you writing those down? These are your recommendations.
No, I thought you okay, were. I don't know where I'm going.
I've got all the ones they've listed thus far. But we're getting ready to close, and just to bring this all to y'all, can go ahead and continue to type those. Somebody said the commissary. Mm-hmm. So y'all go ahead and type those in, and so we might let him get a sampling from all of the ones that y'all recommended, and then you can have a small portion to take with you from
each
all
one.
Of them.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll have a clear, definitive
next time
when you come, and you'll know exactly what you want and what you like,
okay,
how your taste bud.
Right.
Anybody else got some recommendations? A-Top Barbecue. Now it says what?
A-Top Barbecue Master Cozy Corner. That's the good one.
Yeah.
Corky's.
Cozy Corner. Corky's. Okay. Yeah.
But all right. Good.
Thank you.
Excellent choices. B.B. King. That was Brother Jefferson. So he typed all of that in caps. So
B.B. King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. But even as we close out this third chapter, if we were to really put a handle, Cozy Corner is to kind of getting more comments, more play. There's a prayer request, I believe, Lady Kim.
I see.
But even as we close out this third chapter tonight, a good lesson to learn from this is to follow the Lord's lead even today and see that tomorrow he will do amazing things for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what we learned from Joshua, the third chapter. He was obedient. He followed God's command. He did what God told him to do in the time frame that he had instructed him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the results of what God had said would be manifested. That is the word manifest again in his life, because he had an unyielding faith and trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else y'all would like to add to that third chapter?
I think that's a great wrap up. Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we're there. And Lady Kim, will you give us some other comments in terms of what's happening this week, what we're looking forward to, and then any prayer requests? And we'll ask Dr. Holmes to close us out with prayer.
Okay. Don't forget, we're on the home stretch for our fast.
Mm-hmm.
The fast will end on Saturday, so we can break that fast on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't started the fast, or if you kind of fell by the wayside, it's not too late to get up, or it's not too late to get on board. So make a commitment to yourself, but not only to yourself, make a commitment to God,
mm-hmm,
that you are going to fast and you're going to continue to pray and lift up the church, the body of Christ called church, as well as Anointed Temple of Praise as a church family.
That's right.
There is an outline, a calendar that has scriptural references each day and a focus for each day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do not have that, they're going to put that in the chat for you.
And I think she already did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so the fast, you said the fast ends Thursday? I think it ends Saturday on the 22nd.
We're in day 15 today.
We're on day 15 today.
Yeah.
So it's a 20-day fast.
Right.
All right. So we have 5 more days to go. We're
okay
at the home stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Sunday, don't forget, we have a 3 o'clock program planned. Please, ATOP members, come out to worship at 9:45, and then again at 3 o'clock p.m. We won't be long. I promise it's not going to be a long service, but we do want to celebrate our 22nd church anniversary. So we're looking for each and every one of you. Make that sacrifice and push and be there with us.
Press your way. Before you move to the next one, Lady Kim, will be standing tall today, next Sunday, and preparing to share the word. And it's going to be a powerful word, already know. And each of you know, if you haven't had opportunity to hear her, she grows and she's growing each time she comes forth. And I'm expecting great things to happen. You see how she's looking at me.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting great things to happen. And I know that God is going to show up in the sanctuary for the 9:45 service. And Lady Kim will be proclaiming the word at 9:45. And we have our tallest Timothy on the call as well, Pastor Marquise McPherson. Pastor Marquise, Dr. Holmes wanted to make sure that he went by New Bethel. And when I turned the corner on Parkway, he said, my. Look what God has done.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
he'll tell you everything else he said. You call him, he'll tell you the rest. But Lord. No, God has been faithful.
Amen.
And Pastor Marquise is going to be with us
right
on the fifth Sunday.
Right.
And he's bringing his congregation with him.
That's going
to
be a blessing.
So we're looking forward to that as well.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Almost like your own blood.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Any prayer requests, Lady Kim, as we prepare to wrap it up?
Yes, yeah, Sister Pat Echols asked for prayers for her health.
Okay.
Also, Brother Robert Jefferson said, pray for us all for wisdom and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first one again?
Sister Pat Echols. Mm-hmm. She's asking prayers for her health.
She was in service on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eternal God, we thank you and we bless you for this time that we have spent here tonight. And we thank you, Lord God, for the ministry of the anointed temple of praise. Lord, we ask you to bless Sister Pat Echols, who needs, Lord, a healing.
Thank you, God.
Who
thank you,
needs
God.
Healing, but then she needs health.
Yes, God.
And Lord, your word said that you wish above all things that we would prosper and be in health.
Yes,
and
God.
So, Lord, we just speak health right
thank
now
you, God. Thank
on
you,
our
God.
Sister in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, we speak wisdom over this congregation.
Yes,
we
God.
Pray, O God, for the wisdom of these two Levites, Lord, who you have put over this body
thank you, God.
To lead and to guide your people. O God, anoint Lady Kim even now. Prepare her even now to bring forth your word to your people,
Lord,
in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Father, continue to pour into this shepherd, Lord God. This man, Lord, who has labored in the vineyard, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Way beyond the 22 years that he's been here at ATOP.
Yes, God.
Lord, this is a soldier who's been on the battlefield a mighty long time, Lord. So continue to shower my brother with your blessings, Lord.
Thank
continue
you,
to prosper
thank
and
you,
overflow this ministry
overflow,
of ATOP, Lord.
Overflow.
Give them a year of abundant harvest,
abundant
Lord.
Harvest.
And
glory
let them
God.
Realize glory to God. Get that abundant harvest, Lord. They've got to be obedient to you and to bless you, O God,
Jesus.
With what you need. And Father, I thank you right now, and I just praise your holy name for what you're doing in the life of not only ATOP,
mm-hmm.
but in the life of the Church Universal.
Yes, God.
Lord, whatever it is that we are not doing, whatever it is that needs to be removed from us, remove it, Lord, that we might be able to see you more clearly and to love you more dearly.
Yes. Thank you, God.
And we thank you right
thank
now.
You,
and be with us, Lord. Everybody who was on this line,
uh-huh.
Lord, I speak a blessing on them right
hallelujah.
Now, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Every single person, Lord, under the sound of my voice, whatever their needs are, touch them right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We ask you for a good night's rest. We don't take sleep for granted, Lord. So we're asking you for good sleep tonight. Bless and be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Anything else came through as we were closing out, Lady
Sister
Kim?
Sister Lavonia Jones asked for prayers for her family. As Dr. Holmes was praying, I was praying for
Amen.
Her family.
Amen. Okay. Bless okay. Sister Lavonia, Lord,
yes.
right now. Thank
yes.
you, God.
Okay. Well, we certainly appreciate each of you being on tonight, and many will hear this playback later, Dr. Holmes, and we're grateful for those who will view this particular virtual study later.
Amen.
And Lady Kim, anything else you need to share before we close?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, we wish God's blessings and Godspeed to be
thank
upon
you.
You.
Thank you.
Traveling mercies.
I really appreciate both of you.
As you prepare to mm-hmm. head back to Denver, Colorado, the Mile High City. Is that the name? That's
yeah, we're a mile high closer to God than most.
Okay. That's a little bit much right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all above, y'all a little higher.
Little my high, closer to heaven.
Okay, yeah. Okay. All right, is that true, or you just saying something?
Well, we always say that Colorado is God's country.
Okay.
But the problem, even before the pandemic, is nobody goes to church in God's country. So the same issues and challenges we have with evangelism and witnessing, and it's really intensified now that we're with this pandemic.
That's right, that's
right. And so we're going to have to become clever in terms of how we win souls, and I love what you're doing here at ATOP. He showed me doorknob holders and all kinds of ways in which you're just getting your name
That's right.
So praise God for what you're doing. And I hear nothing but great things about this lady here in seminary what she's doing and how she's just rocking
leaps
the house.
And bounds.
So, man, just so excited for you guys.
Okay.
Thank you again.
That's it. Until next time. Y'all be blessed and continue to fast, and we look to see y'all real soon.
Amen.
God bless you.
Bless you. Bye-bye. See you next time.
Thank you, ATOP.